Hey guys, welcome back once again at Creative Thinking. How the billionaire CEO of SpaceX and Tesla is shaping our future, vast savings. Episode 10, Part 4, The Revenge of Electric Car, by Elon Musk. So, while Musk and Blankenship got along at first, their relationship fell apart during the later stages of 2012. Tesla did have a large number of reservations in which people put down $5,000 for the right to buy a Model S and get in the purchase queue. But the company had struggled to turn this reservation into an actual sales. The reason behind this problem remained unclear. It may have been that the complaints about the interior and the early kinks mentioned on the Tesla forums and the message boards were causing concerns. Tesla also lacked financing option or to soften the blow of buying a $100,000 car, while uncertainty surrounded the resale market for the Model S. You might end up with a car for the future, or you might spend six figures on a dirt with a battery pack that loses its capacity and with no secondary buyer. Tesla service centers at the time were also terrible. The early cars were unreliable, and the customers were being sent in droves to centers unprepared to handle the volume. Many prospective Tesla owners likely wanted to hang out on the sidelines for a bit longer to make sure that the company would remain viable. As Musk put it, the word of mouth on the car sucked. By the middle of February 2013, Tesla had fallen into a crisis state. It is if it could not convert its reservations to purchase quickly, its factory could sit it idly, costing the company vast amounts of money. And if anyone caught wind on the factory slowdown, Tesla shares will likely plummet, prospective owners will become even more cautious, and short sellers will win. The sovereignty of this problem had been hidden from Musk, but once he learned about it, he acted in his signature all-or-nothing fashion. Musk pulled people from recruiting, the design studio, engineering, finance, and whatever else he could find them, and ordered them to get on the phone, call people with reservations and close deals. "If we don't deliver this cars, we are fucked," Musk told employees. "So I don't care about the job you were doing. Your new job is delivering cars." He placed Jeremy Gillen, a former Daimler executive in charge of fixing service issues. Musk fired senior leaders, whom he deemed superb performers, and promoted a flood of junior people who had been doing above average work. He also made an announcement personally guaranteeing the recent price of Model S customers would be able to resell the cars for the average going rate of similar luxury sedans, with Musk putting his billions behind and this pledge. And then Musk tried to orchestrate the ultimate fail safe for Tesla, just in case his maneuvers did not work. During the first week of April, Musk reached out to his friend Larry Page at Google. According to the people familiar with the discussion, Musk voiced his concerns about Tesla's ability to survive the next few weeks. Not only were customers failing to convert their reservations to order at the rate Musk hoped, but existing customers had also started to defer their orders as they heard about upcoming features and new color choices. These situations got so bad that Tesla had to shut down its factory. Publicly, Tesla said it needed to conduct maintenance on the factory, which was technically true, although the company will have soldiery on ahead the other orders been closing as expected. Musk explained all of this page and then struck a handshake deal for Google to acquire Tesla. While Musk did not want to sell, the deal seems like the only viable course for Tesla's future. Musk's biggest fear about the position was that the new owner will not see Tesla's goals through to their conclusion. He wanted to make sure that the company would end up producing a mass market electric vehicles. Musk proposed terms under which he would remain in control of Tesla's for 8 years, or until it started pumping out of mass market. Musk also started for access to $5 billion in capital for factory expansions. Some of Google's lawyers were put off by these demands, but Musk and Page continued to talk about the deal. Given Tesla's value at the time, it was thought that Google will need to pay about $6 billion for the company. As Musk, Page, and Google's lawyers debated the parameters of an acquisition, a miracle happened. The 500 or so people whom Musk had turned into car salesmen quickly sold a huge volume of cars. Tesla, which only had a couple of weeks of cash left in the bank, moved enough cars in the span of about 14 days to end up with the blowout first facial quarter. Tesla stunned Wall Street on May 18, 2013 by posting its first ever profit as a public company of $11 million on $562 million in sales. It delivered 4,900 Model S sedans during the period. This announcement sent Tesla's shares soaring from about $30 shares to $130 per share in July. Well, just a couple of weeks later, revealing the first quarter results, Tesla paid off its $465 million loan from the government early and what with interest. Tesla suddenly appeared to have vast cash reserves at its disposal, and the short sellers were forced to take massive losses. The solid performances of stock increased consumers' confidence, creating a virtuous circle for Tesla. With cost sellings and Tesla's value rising, the deal with Google was no longer necessary, and Tesla had become too expensive to buy. The talk with Google ended. Point of note, Google Electronics had asked to make a presentation to Tesla's board before he would permit this. Musk asked for the right to call on Google for a loan in case Tesla's unaccounted cash flow issues after equity and stocks became public, as there would otherwise be no way for Tesla to raise money. Google hesitated on this for weeks, by which time Tesla ended up in the clear. Coming back once again, what transpired next was the summer of Musk. Musk put his public relations staff on a high alert, telling them that he wanted to try to have one Tesla announcement per week. The company had never quite lived up to the pace, but it did issue statement after statement. Musk held a series of press conferences that addresses financing for the Model S, the construction of more charging stations, and the opening of more retail stores. During one announcement, Musk noted that Tesla charging stations were solar powered and had batteries on site to store the extra juice. I was joking that even if there's some zombies, echolocation, you will still be able to travel throughout the country using Tesla's supercharger system. Even if there is some zombie echolocation, you will still be able to travel throughout the country using the Tesla supercharger system. Musk said, setting the bar very high for CEOs and other automakers. But biggest event by far was held in Los Angeles, where Tesla unveiled another secret feature of Model S. In June 2013, Tesla unveiled the prototype vehicle out of its Los Angeles design studio and invited Tesla owners and the media for the flashy evening story. Hundreds of people showed up driving the pristine Model S sedans through the grungy streets of Hawthorne and parking in between the design studio and the SpaceX factory. The studio had been converted into the launch. The lining was dim and the floor had been covered in astroturf and tired to make gladius where people could mingle or plop down on couches. Women in tight black dresses cursed through the crowd, serving drinks. Daft Punk's Greg Lucky played on the sound system. A stage had been built at the front of the door, but before Musk ascended, he mingled with the masses. It was clear that he had become a rock star for Tesla owners, every bit the equivalent of Steve Jobs for the Apple faithful. People surrounded him and asked to take pictures. Meanwhile, Straubel stood off the side, often totally alone. After people had a couple of drinks, Musk fought through the crowd to the front of the room, where old TV commercials projected onto the screen above the stage showed families stopping by SSO and Chevron station. The kids were so happy to see SSO tiger mascot. Guess is a weird thing to love, Mark said, honestly. That's when he bought a Model S up on stage. A hole opened up in the floor beneath the car. It had been possible all along, Mark said, to replace the battery pack underneath. More or less in a matter of seconds, the company just had not told anyone about this. Tesla would now start adding battery swapping and its charging station as its quickest options to recharging some one cool drive right over the feet where a robot would take off the car's battery pack and install a new one in the 90 seconds at a cost equivalent to filling up with a tank of gas. The only decisions that you have to make when you come to one of our Tesla stations is, do you prefer faster or free? Mark said. Point to be noted, following the demonstration, Tesla struggled to deliver on the battery swap technology. Mark had promised that the first few stations will arrive in late 2013, a year after the equivalent through Tesla, and had yet to open single stations. According to the Mark's company, ended up needing to deal with more pressing issues. We are going to do it because we said we'd do it, Mark said. It may not be on the schedule that we did like, but we also come to the in the end. In the months that followed, a couple of events threatened in a drill. The summer of Mark's New York stand pinned a veteran review of the car and its charging station, and a couple of Model S sedans caught fire after being involved in collisions. Disobeying conventional public relations wisdom, Mark went after the reporter using data pulled from the car undermined the reviewer's claims. Mark paint a feisty reboot to himself while on vacation in Aspen with Kimball and friend and Tesla board member Antonio Gracias. At some other company, it would be public relations group putting something like this together. Gracias says Elon felt like it was the most important problem facing Tesla at the time, but has that always what he deals with and how he prioritizes. It could kill a car and the represented existing existential threat against the businesses. Have there been moments where his unconventional style in this type of situations has made me cringe? Yes, but what I trust that it will work out in the end. Mark applied a similar approach onto dealing with the fires by declaring the Model S the safest car in America in the press release and adding a titanium underbody shield and aluminum plates onto the vehicle to deflect the destroyed dupes and keep the battery pack safe. The fires and the occasional bad review, none of these had any effect on Tesla's sales or per share price. Mark stars soon brighter and brighter as Tesla's market value boomed to about half that GM and Ford. Tesla had another press event in the October 2014 that cemented Mark's place as the new titan of the auto industry. Mark unveiled a supercharged version of the Model S with two motors, one in the front of and one in the back. It could go 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. The company had turned a sedan into a supercar. It's like taking off from a carrier deck, Mark said. It's just bananas. Mark also unveiled a few suits of software for the Model S that gave it autopilot function. The car had radar to detect the objects and warn of possible collusion and curl guides itself via GPS. Later you will be able to summon the car, Mark said. It will come to whatever you are. There is also something else I would like to do. Many of our engineers will be hearing this in real time. I would like to charge connector to plug itself into the car, sort of like an anti-articulating snake. I think we will probably do something like that. Thousands of people waited in line for hours to see Musk demonstrate the technology. Musk cracked jokes during the presentation and played off the crowd's enthusiasm. The man who had a workout in the front of media during the PayPal years had developed a unique sleek stagecraft. A woman standing next to me in the crowd when weak in the knees when Musk first took the stage. A man to my other side said he wanted a Model X and Axe and had just offered $15,000 to a friend to move up on the reservation list so that he could end up with model number 700. The enthusiasm coupled with Mark's ability to generate attention was emblematic of just how far the title automaker and his eccentric CEO had come. Rival car companies were killed to receive such interest and had basically been left dumbfounded as Tesla snagged up on them and delivered more than they had ever imagined possible. As the Model S fever gripped Silicon Valley One, the Silicon Valley, I visited Ford's small research and development lab in Palo Alto. The head of the lab at the time was ponytailed, sandal-wearing engineer named T.J. Julie, who felt very jealous of Tesla's insight. Of every Ford were dozens of computing systems made by different companies that all had to speak to each other and work as one. It was a mess of complexity that had evolved over time, and simplifying and situation would prove near impossible at this point, especially for a company like Ford, which needed to pump out hundreds of thousands of cars per year and could not afford not to stop to rebuild. Tesla, by contrast, got to start from scratch and make its own software and focus on Model S. Julia would have loved the same opportunity. Software is in many ways in the heart of new vehicle experiences, he said. From the powertrain to the warning chains in the car, you are using software to create an expressive and pleasing environment. The level of integration that software has into the rest of the world as in Model S is really impressive. Tesla is a benchmark for what we do here. Not long after this chat, Julian left Ford to become an engineering and self-starter. There was a little mainstream auto industry could do to so slow Tesla down, but that did not stop executives from trying to be difficult whenever possible. Tesla, for example, wanted to call its third generation car the Model E so that its lineup of vehicles will be the Model S, E, and X, another painful Musk's joke. But Ford's then CEO Anna Mulley blocked Tesla from using Model A with the trade of lawsuits. So I called up Mulley and I was like, Alan, are you just fucking with us or are you really going to do a Model A? Musk said, and I'm not sure which is worse. You know, plug-in would actually make more sense if they are just fucking with us, because if they actually come out with Model A at this point and we've got the Model S and the Model X and Ford comes out with the Model E, it's going to look ridiculous. So even though Ford did the Model T 100 years ago, nobody think of Model as being a Ford think anymore. So it will just feel like their story. Like, why did you go to steal Tesla's E? Like you're some sort of fascist army marching across the alphabet, some of this Sesame Street robot. And he was like, no, no, we were definitely going to use it. And I was like, oh, I don't think that's such a good idea, because people are going to be confused, because it's not just to make sense. People aren't used to Ford having model or something these days. It actually called like Ford Fusion. And he was like, no, these guys really want to use that. That's terrible. After that, Tesla had registered a trademark of Model Y as another joke. In fact, Ford called up deadpan and said, we see you ever registered Model Y. Is that you were going to use instead of Model A? Musk said. I'm like, no, it's Joker. Sexy. S-E-X-Y. Sexy. What does this spell? But trademark law is dry profession, it turns out. What Musk had done that the rival automaker missed or did not have the means to combat was turned Tesla into lifestyle. It did not just sell someone a car. It sold them an image, a feeling they were tapping into the future. A relationship. Apple did the same thing decades ago with Mac and then again with iPod and iPhone. Even those who were not religious about their affiliation to Apple were sucked into its universe once they bought the hardware and downloaded software like iTunes. The sort of relationship hard to pull off if you don't control as much of the lifestyle as possible. PC makers that farmed their software out to Microsoft, their chips to Intel, and their design to Asia could never make machines as beautiful as complete as Apple's. They also could not respond in the time as Apple took this expertise to new areas and hooked people on its explication. You can see Musk's embrace of the cars as lifestyles and Tesla's abandonment of model years. Tesla do not designates a car as being 2014s or 2015s, and it also does not have all the 2014s in stock. Must go and make room for every new car sales. It produces the best model as it can at the time, and that's why the customer receives. It means that Tesla does not develop and they unleash them in a new model all at once. It adds the features one by one to the manufacturing line when they are ready. Some customers may be frustrated to miss out the future here and there. Tesla, however, manages to deliver most of the upgrades and software updates that everyone gets, providing the current Model S owners with pleasing surprise. For the Model S owner, all the electric lifestyle translates into the less hassle existence instead of going to the gas station. You just plug the car in at night. A rhythm familiar to anyone with a smartphone. The car will start charging right away. All the owner can tap into the Model S software and schedule charging to take place at night when the cheapest electricity rates are available. Tesla owners not only dodge gas stations, then they mostly get it to skip out on the visits to machines. A traditional vehicle needs oil and transmission fluid change to deal with all the frictions and wear and tear produced by its sounds, produced its thousands of moving parts. The electric car design eliminates the type of maintenance. Both the Roadster and the Model S also take advantage of what's known as regenerative braking, which extends the life of the brakes. During the stop and go situation, the Tesla will brake by kicking the motor into reverse via software and slowing down the wheels instead of using brake pads and friction to clamp them down. The Tesla motor generates electricity during the process and funnels it back to the batteries, which is why electric cars get better mileage in a city traffic. Tesla still recommends that owners bring in the Model S once a year for a checkup, but that's mostly to give the vehicle a once over and make sure that none of the components seems to be wearing down prematurely. Even Tesla's approach to maintenance is philosophically different from that of the traditional automotive industry. Most car dealers make the majority of their profits from servicing cars. They treat vehicles like a subscription service, expecting people to visit their service centers multiple times a year for many years. This is the main reason dealerships have fought to block Tesla from selling its car directly to consumers. Point to be noted, a handful of lawsuits have been filed against Tesla, with auto dealers arguing that the company should not be able to sell its car directly. But even in those states, they have banned Tesla stores. Prospective customers can actually request a test drive, and someone from Tesla will show up with a vehicle. Sometimes you have to put something out there for people to attack, Musk said. In the long run, the stores won't be important. The way things will really grow is the word of mouth. The stores are like a virus to get things going. Going back, the ultimate goal is to never have to bring your car back in after you buy it, say dividend. The dealers charge more than independent machines, but give people the peace of mind that their car is being worked on by a specialist for a particular make or vehicle. Tesla makes its profits from the initial sales of a car and then from some optional software service. I got the number of 10 Model S and Kongsing Odmer, the Silicon Valley software whiz and entrepreneur. It was an awesome car, but it had just about every issue you might have read about in the forums. They would fix all these things and decide to trailer the car back to shop so that they did not add any miles to it. But I went in front of 1 year services and they spruced up everything so that the car was better than new. It was surrounded by velvet ropes in the service center. It was just beautiful. Tesla model is not just about being an offering to the white car makers and dealers to businesses. It's more a subtle play on how electric car represents a new way of to think of automobiles. All car companies will soon follow Tesla lead and offer some form of over the year update to their vehicles. The practicality and scope of the updates will be limited, however. You just can't do an over the year spark plug change replacement to the timing belt, say Jevedin. With the gas car, you have to get under the hood at some point, and that forces you back to the dealership anyway. There's no real incentive and Mercedes to say you don't need to bring the car in, because it's not true. Tesla also has the edge of having designed so many of the key components of its car in-house, including the software running throughout the vehicle. If Delmar wants to change the way the Gutch looks, it was the contact. Our supplier, half a world away, and then await for a series of approvals. They will say, I will take them a year to change the way the P on the instrument panel looks. At Tesla, if Elon decides he wants a picture of Lenny Rabbit on every gutch or for Easter, he can have that done in a couple of hours. Point to be noted, or as a software put it, watching people drive the Model X across the country is phenomenal. There's no way you can do that in anything else. It's not about putting a charging station in the desert as a stunt. It's about realizing where this is going to go. We will end up launching the third generation car in a world where this charging network is free and ubiquitous. It bugs me when people compare us to a car company. That's the car are absolutely out of our main product. But we are also an energy car company, that technology and a technology company. We are going down to the dirt and having discussion for mining companies about the materials for our batteries and going up to commercialize all the pieces that make up an electric vehicle and all the pieces that makes an awesome product. Coming back, as Tesla turned into the star of modern American industry, its closest rivals were all be traded. Fisker Automotive Field from bankruptcy was bought by Chinese auto parts company in 2014. One of its main investors was Ray Lin, a venture capitalist at Kellenier, Perkins, Caulfield, and Barris. Lin had cost Kellenier, Perkins a chance to invest in Tesla and then backed Fisker, a disastrous move that transcends the firm brand and Lane's reputation. Better Place was another startup that enjoyed more hype than Fisker and Tesla put together and raised close to $1 billion to build the electric car and battery swapping station. The company never produced much of anything and declared bankruptcy in 2013. The guys like Struggle, who haven't been at Tesla since in the beginning, are quick to remind people that the chance to build an awesome electric car had been there all along. It's not really like there was a rush to this idea and we got there first, Struble said. It's a frequently forgotten and hindsight that people thought that this was a serious business opportunity to the planet. On the planet, the venture capitalists were all running for the hills. What separated Tesla from the competition was a willingness to charge after visions without compromise, a complete commitment to execute to the Musk standards. Thank you guys for being with me at Creative Thinking. Hope to see you once again at Creative Thinking. This is the end of episode 10, The Revenge of Electric Car by Elon Musk. How the billionaire CEO of SpaceX and Tesla is saving our future. See you on episode 11, The Unified Field Theory of Elon Musk. Thank you, fellas, for being with me. Om Namah.